Well, good morning to each of you on this Sunday, August the 30th. It's hard to believe that this month has already flown by, and I trust you've had a great week. We'll have our announcements and updates following our morning. I want to speak to you on a topic that I think is relevant to what we're going through. I've talked to many folks in these last few weeks, and the scenario that I'm hearing is that they've got a sense of what is my purpose. Their purpose seems to be lacking. And in part, it has to do with often how they feel in terms of their age. So I want to start with a scripture from Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 5. And let me read this to you. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision and said, "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." But Abraham said, "Oh, Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Abraham said, "Behold, you have given me no offspring, and no member of my house will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir.' And God brought Abram outside and said, 'Look toward the heaven and the number of the stars, if you're able to number them.' Then God said to Abram, 'So shall your offspring be.'" Now let's think for just a moment. How old was Abram? Well, biblical scholars feel at this point he was approximately 81 years old. And then you might remember in the story, by the time he's 86, they've made arrangements, Sarah and Hagar, and so Ishmael is born. And then in Genesis chapter 17, it starts with the following. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am the God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and that I may make my covenant between me and you and multiply you greatly." I don't know if this is impinging on you, but practically speaking, it's nearly 20 years from the time that Abram said to the Lord, "Lord, I haven't got any offspring." And God said, "You will." And then there doesn't seem to be any effect that's positive. I think if anybody had a right to feel that they've been pushed aside by God and totally ignored after 19 or 20 years, Abram had every right to say, "I don't even think God's talking to me anymore." And yet God speaks to him. And the interesting thing, too, is it's not only Abram that God speaks to. God, I think we need to keep in mind, is concerned about every member of our family. And in this case, he was very concerned about Sarai, Abram's wife. And he wanted to also encourage her, because don't forget, if Abram was 99 years of age, Sarai was 10 years younger, 89 years of age. And again, all the reality that came with not having a child, and literally a sense of a curse upon you. So here's what God says. "As for Sarai, your wife," this is in Genesis 17, "you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be your name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become many nations. Kings of people shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face, and he laughed, and he said to himself, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." God said, "No. But Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him." What do you hear in that? Abraham, yeah, was counted as believing, and yet at that very moment, he can't help but laugh. Like, okay, sure. You ever done that? And so here's the question I want to start with this morning. As a Christ follower, do you believe that your Heavenly Father can hear and bless and bring you into spiritual success, whether you're even in the middle or near the end of your life journey? That may be your issue for today. And so if we go back to Sarah and Abraham in Genesis 21, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born to him, and Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. Not a laugh of unbelief, but a laugh based on a miracle. God's not connected to any timeline. He's not looking at the age of our lives to determine what we are to be or do in his name. And so again, we have this incredible example of a couple who had miraculous things happen to them, and they were 100 years old and 90 years old respectively. I mean, we could talk about Moses. I mean, he had a miraculous upbringing. He was a babe that was supposed to have been killed because Pharaoh was commanding all the Egyptians would kill all the Hebrew babies. I mean, he was found in the bulrushes of the Nile River by Pharaoh's daughter, who then adopted him. He grew up in the court. He was going to be heir to the throne of Egypt. Of course, at the age of 40, he saw an Israeli being brutally attacked by an Egyptian, and he went and he killed the Egyptian, to which he realized he'd been caught, and he ran into hiding. And so he married, and he worked for, what, 40 years in the wilderness, herding sheep under his father-in-law Jethro's direction. And remember, when he was 80 years old, he saw a burning bush, and God spoke to him. And then he said, well, we'll see. And remember the story from Exodus chapter 2, when he looked upon the burdens, and we have the whole story there in Exodus 2, and when he had struck down the Egyptian, he hit him in the sand. And so here he is, he's fled from Moses' presence, or from Pharaoh's presence, and he is in the land of Midian. And so we have in Exodus chapter 3, Richard, if you'll put that on for us, Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Joseph, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the mountains. He came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. So at the age of 80, God's now going to have a chat with this man. And this is what he says in Exodus chapter 3, and Moses, of course, writing the actual conversation he'd had with God. And God said to Moses, I have come down to deliver, what, the Israelites out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up into a land that is good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And I do wonder, joking for just a moment, if there isn't also mosquito bites. And then in chapter 3 and verse 10, we have, come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And then in verse 19, the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all the men who were seeking your life are dead. So at the age of 80, he's been called for a moment such as only he can be in, because God has been working in his life up till this point. God's not saying, okay, you know, buddy boy, you're 80 years old. Why don't you just stay out with the sheep in the wilderness and let's call it a day. What he's in essence saying, no, you were trained in the Egyptian court. Now think about this. What did Moses do for 40 years in the wilderness? He tracked all over the place with the sheep. So when it came to delivering the Israelites out of Egypt, do you not think he knew a lot of paths out of Egypt that would take him toward the promised land, because he'd walked that land for 40 years, herding sheep? God even prepared in the 40 years for what he was supposed to be doing. And here's the point that you and I need to consider if you're discouraged today. God calls his children to serve him no matter what their age. Any hard life experiences find success in God after what seems to be failure. After what seems to be failure. Bob Gass, a fellow that I read, he writes a number of things relative to Christian life, and he wrote this story about these two fellows, and I want to read them to you this morning. The first is a man by the name of Samuel Morris. Now, Samuel had a dream, and his dream was that one day he would be a great painter. He even traveled to Paris in pursuit of that dream. Now, years before, his dad, Jedediah, had counseled him, and he has said to him, "Son, attend to one thing at a time. Attend to one thing at a time." And so Samuel said, "Yeah, okay," threw himself into painting. He had a series of setbacks. Finally, he thought of abandoning painting altogether. And the final crushing moment for Samuel came when he lost the appointment to paint a historic mural in the capital of Washington, D.C. After that moment, he gave up painting entirely. But he remembered one thing. His dad had said to him, "Attend to one thing at a time." And so he decided he would focus on one other area. And it was going to be what he called his telegraph. If he had not stopped painting when he did, no successful electromagnetic telegraph would have happened when it did, or at least not a Morris electromagnetic telegraph. Relatively late in his career, Samuel Morris gave up painting and began to focus on inventing the telegraph and eventually a language called Morse code that has transformed the world and how it communicates. He thought he was a failure. God said, "No, I've only begun." And then there's a man that his name is going to be very familiar to him. His name was George Foreman. And George was a world champion boxer. He had been raised in a Christian home. And he got into a world of drugs, and things were not going well for George. And a friend recognized that he had tremendous potential because of his great spiritual strength. And so that friend suggested that George work out at a local gym to work out all that aggression in a more constructive way. And of course, that led to him becoming a world heavyweight champion boxer. He made millions of dollars in the course of that time. But as you can appreciate, the course of the career of a boxer is very short. And so as he began to age, he realized that he didn't have the same prowess. He became overweight. He still would fight, but only for a few thousand dollars. And he was getting in a very desperate strait. He realized that he needed to lose weight, and he needed to get back into shape somehow. And so another friend introduced him to a healthy diet. And part of his new eating regimen was to use a little grill. And one day, George's wife said to him, "Instead of simply using the grill for yourself, why don't you put your name on it and have others buy it?" Well, that's what they did. And now there's over 100 million George Foreman grills in the world. People continue to buy George Foreman grills. And George, as he came back to the Lord, the Lord allowed him to prosper and be successful in so many different ways. Again, men and the women of faith in Scripture, they were not under God's direction because of their age. They were under God's direction because he was in charge. It seems like for many people in the Bible, 80 years of age is when you just get started. So some of you may feel you have a ways to go yet, or you may feel you're 40 years in the wilderness. God is not just leaving you there and forgetting about you. Everything that he's doing in your life has a purpose in time. Nothing is random. And so, as I conclude today, I want to remind you, do you remember Joel? Joel wrote some tremendous words that the Lord had given him when he talked about the children of Zion. And in Joel chapter 2, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the early rain for your vindication, and he's poured out for you the abundant rain, the early and the latter rain as before." And so Joel is talking about the fact that the Israelites have been disciplined for a long time, but now God was going to work in years that the swarming locusts have eaten. Do you notice the word years? Years. The hopper, the destroyer, the cutter, my great army, which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else. And my people shall never again be put to shame. And it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and here's the key. Your old men shall dream dreams. What's God saying? The young will have things happen to them. Your young men will see vision. Your young men and women will prophesy, but also your old men shall dream dreams. God is not in the business of passing people by simply because of their age. And so let me conclude with this. We've got the following scenario that is so important. Last week. The thing about the Lord is that as we recall the things God has done in our lives over the years, over the decades, then we should have hope. Because the steadfast love of the Lord, what? Never ceases. His mercies don't stop once we turn 60. They never come to an end. They are new every morning until we are retired? No. They're new every morning for every day that we live on the face of the earth. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him despite my age. So, family, wherever you are today, maybe you need to get back on track with what the Lord's doing. Maybe you need to apologize to the Lord and say, Father, I'm sorry for underestimating what you're doing and underestimating your love for me. I am sorry that I am looking at the things of this world and focusing on them and how I feel like nobody wants me anymore. I'm retired out of a job and nobody's interested in my opinion anymore. And no, I serve you and you only. And the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. We sang that song last week, Elizabeth McNeil, based on Lamentations 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. So here's what I want to propose to you. Question. Do you feel a dream coming on? The Lord's got great things, and they're far more than we could even ask or think. Father, I pray for this family today. We gear so much on our physical abilities, our mental abilities, our youthfulness. And yet, Lord, what you're saying is often the life experiences create within us character growth and spiritual maturity that allow us to move into positions that we could not have been in 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. Moses could not have done what he did if he was only 40 years of age. He needed those 40 years in the wilderness. Abram needed to have that experience of going all the way almost to 100 to realize just how great the Lord you were and could trust you in ways that most men never would. And then there's Caleb and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and these men who were faithful, and Sarah who was faithful in believing, and laughter became her belief in such a powerful way that it was a tremendous witness to so many people. And so, Father, as we head into this final week of August, Lord, if people are feeling their age, now that doesn't mean we don't feel frail or we're not tired or we don't feel we have health issues, but the reality is you don't look at our age. You simply look at the fact that we're either your son or we're your daughter, and you love us with a great love. And so we thank you today that until we see you face to face, there are things you're going to call us to do and there's jobs that will be done as we seek to serve you with all of our hearts and minds and abilities that we own. And we thank you now in your powerful name. Amen. Well, in just a minute, we're going to have Gail and Don sing for us, and Don, of course, is going to play. But I'd like to quickly give you some announcements for today, August the 30th. Don't forget the Daily Bread devotional booklets are available for September, October, November. So we have them here at the church. Feel free to come and get them. Also, we started some midweek groups, so Thursday night at 7 o'clock, We'll either meet outside if it's lovely weather or inside, and we're studying the book of Esther, and you're all invited. Don't forget that on September the 5th, Saturday at 9 o'clock, we're going to be here for a church cleanup. So bring your rakes and your shovels and everything that you have, and we're going to clean up around the church. And I want to tell you, Bob Jones is going to be looking for you, okay? Also, Saturday night at 8 o'clock, if you know about Sight and Sound, they do a phenomenal live presentation down in the States. They are going to be doing a special presentation via film. And so at 8 o'clock on Saturday night, we'd like you to come here, and we're going to see in Sight and Sound a video presentation of the life of Esther. How interesting in light of what we're studying on Thursday night. And so I would suggest bring your own snacks and bring your own drinks and be here so we can get started for 8 o'clock. I think we'll have an amazing time together. We have some notes for prayer and praise. First of all, for prayer, Donna Clark is asking prayer for a little fellow, Jameson, who's been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes and everything that's going on, the parents' stress level in the home, and for doctors as they get his blood sugar under control. And Shauna has also asked again that we continue to pray that she would be able to get this stair lift and a special bathtub for a walk-in for the needs for handicapped people. And also, Ingeborg, you might remember Ingeborg. Ingeborg, hello. She's in Peterborough, and she is saying hello to all of us at Wasaga Community Church. So hello to you. So let's also remind ourselves, we've got some birthdays. And so Colin Bailey had a birthday last Thursday. Colin, happy 88th birthday. We missed and saying that to you publicly last week. Bessie Hickenbotham. Bessie, we want to wish you a happy birthday on the 31st. And Lena Harrison, of course, who is down in the Creemore Nursing Home. Lena has her birthday on the 2nd. And then on the 4th, we have a busy day. Riam Cunningham has a birthday, and Bob Sisko has a birthday, and apparently I do too. So the three of us together will celebrate. And anniversaries, Edith and Dave Thornton on September the 3rd in Elliott Lake. So to you, Dave and Edith, a very happy anniversary. So why don't we pray, and we'll pray for these folks and for our prayer needs as well. Father, again, as we just take this time to thank you for all the blessings that we have, we pray for those in special need, for this little fellow that Donna has brought to our attention who has this blood sugar issue of diabetes. Would you just touch his little body? And Father, for all our families, wherever they are this day, that you would help them, especially all our teachers and students getting ready to go back to school. It is going to be such a stressful time. We pray, too, for Shauna as she is trying to make necessary renovations within her house. Pray that March of Dimes will be able to support her quickly. And we also would pray, too, that you would work for all of our families, wherever they are, those that will be traveling over the long weekend, and for those that are far and near. We think of people like Ingeborg, and we think of the Thornton family. And each one of you, we just ask the Lord to bless you wherever you are. And for all those having a birthday this week, may you also sense the presence of the Lord in your lives. And so, Father, thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. And now I want to turn the service part over to Donna and to Gail and to Don, and they're going to sing, and Donna will play for us.
Without you, I surely fail. Without you, my surely fail. Without
Together, shall we? Father, this day we're committed to serving you. Thank you for all the love you bring to our lives. And Lord, as we continue into this week, may we be good ambassadors for you. Take us to the people we need to talk to. Help us to listen to those and the needs that they have. And Lord, may we indeed be bright lights. May our lights not be under a bushel. And Lord, if you take us home this week, well, that'll be soon enough. And if we're to stay another week, Lord, help us to be faithful in all that we do. And so bless each and every one, our families, our friends, the community we live in, those in authority over us, right through to the prime minister of this country, and to all those who are in charge of making decisions for our well-being. And Lord, would you again remind us that you have a peace for us that passes all understanding in the midst of all the confusion and situations that we're going through at this time. So, Lord, we thank you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.